fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 8th day of August. And prepper tip of the day, I want to encourage all of you that if you don't have night vision now, to get your night vision. You can only afford one piece. Get yourself a rifle scope. Best place to go shopping that I'm aware of is OpticsPlanet.com. That's OpticsPlanet.com, where you can pick what you need and get yourself an educational night vision at the same time. We're patient waiting in the green room, my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff is a gentleman who began a quest, began a journey more than 2 decades ago to understand, comprehend, and become very knowledgeable of the true threat posed by international communism to West, our way of life, to the United States, to our republic. And his website is jrnyquist.com. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Well, sir, it looks like the primaries have gone quite well for the Republicans overall, haven't they?
Well, I think it's better than some of the, it's much better than what some of the gloom and doomers were saying a few months ago.
Absolutely.
The president seems to be able to move the numbers as far as his, Republican popularity.
President Trump, and I think I can say this with some bit of veracity, President Trump understands the media, uses the media, and comprehends the media better than any president we've ever had. Would that be a fair statement, do you think, Jeff?
Well, I've been trying to puzzle out exactly what he does and how he does it. But it's something like that. I think he has this. I think he has an understanding of the public mind, which is different than anyone else's. I mean, take, for example, the baseball cap thing, when he's running for president.
Right.
Some people in the Democratic Party, they made fun of that. But you know what? It was brilliant.
He was
communicating to average, everyday people. I mean, working men, people wear those kind of hats when they go to work, when they're on construction jobs, when they're... it protects them from the sun.
A baseball cap's about the worst thing to protect you from the sun. But
right. Well, a broad-brimmed hat, right, of course. You're right. It doesn't
protect
your ears.
I'll tell you what I do. A quick side note. If I am wearing a baseball cap and I'm exposed to a lot of ultraviolet, I always have a handkerchief. I'll take my handkerchief out and I'll place the handkerchief so that it hangs down, protecting my ears and the back of my neck, held in place by the baseball cap. The French Foreign Legion issued caps that were built that way. But I'll tell you, my hillbilly neighbors out here, these men, I've never seen without a baseball cap. It's almost like it's glued to their head. I'm not a cap wearer myself. I own a number of them, but I rarely do wear them, except when I'm working out in the sun, and I wear a broad-rim straw hat to protect me from the ultraviolet. But you're right. When President Trump wore that baseball cap, he was communicating. He was communicating with the men and women who actually run this country, who actually do the work that makes everything function in this country. The plumbers, the electricians, the carpenters, the truck drivers, the farmers. These are the men who wear the baseball caps. And that's who he was communicating. It was nonverbal communication, which most of what happens is nonverbal. It is.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, I understand that. You understand that. And President Trump definitely understands it. The way he walks, the way, you know, when he walks, you can tell this is a tough guy just by watching him walk. When you watch Obama walk, you can tell that you're watching a wimp.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, yesterday was very good for the Republican Party, and November will be even better. This woman from New York, Ocasio-Cortez, everybody she endorsed lost Tuesday. Everyone. Go ahead.
Those of us who are older, we remember, you know, George McGovern. And this kind of leftism, whenever it pops up, it never really ultimately goes very far. It might have a small season of success, but people realize how dangerous and negative it is, and the voters turn against it, it seems.
I think McGovern had a good heart. I think he wanted to do the right things. You know, he was a combat veteran of World War II, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I believe the communists were riding his coattails to take advantage of his good heart and good soul to accomplish their goals. But that's, you know, the McGovern kids.
The Clintons were among them.
It was a phenomenon at the time. And those were turbulent times back then when everything was being called into question. Everything from top to bottom, left to right in our country, in our society, in our culture was being called into question, largely because of that ill-fated war called the Vietnam War. But that's history. And I was part of that history. I understand what happened. I understand why it happened. And I'm still learning about it, by the way. Still learning. But moving forward to 2018, I really believe that the success of Donald Trump, the success in these primaries, and what will almost without a doubt be a success in the November general election is causing great weeping and gnashing of teeth among the socialist, communist, Democrats. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, maybe they're not gnashing their teeth as much as they should, because it may be worse for them in the fall than they realize. I think some of them still hold out hope.
Among the rank and file, yes, but I think in the leadership, they know it's over. These are smart people. These are smart people. I don't agree with them, but I do understand them. They have very brilliant people in the top leadership, and they know it's over. There's no way in God's green earth that they're going to have success in November elections, which means desperation. If they want to accomplish their goals, yeah, they're going to have to go outside the rule of law. That's what they'll have to do. They'll have to abandon the rule of law. They'll have to abandon winning at the ballot box and go to civil disorder or something even worse. I don't want to see harm come to innocent Americans, but it's the innocents who always pay the price, always. And I'm very concerned, Jeff, that before the November elections, the desperation of George Soros and the communists will cause them to make use of things that their plan B. They have a plan B. Don't fool yourself. They have a plan B.
I don't know if you know the work of Kevin Freeman.
Negative.
But Kevin Freeman is an economic expert who said that the 2008 financial crash was caused by a foreign power that interfered with the international continental exchanges by doing naked short-selling attacks on our financial institutions, and that's what caused it. Now, he points to the possibility of Saudi Arabia or Russia having done this. Because you can't trace where the money came from that did these things. But he had this pattern which pointed to Russia and or Saudi Arabia. These were the largest oil exporting countries at the time. To the run-up to it, it was a, as he put it, somebody was pushing the prices of oil up in an unnatural way. And that was sort of a tip-off that something was going on. And nobody could figure out why the price of oil was going up so high. Now, we dropped the price of oil, but this is starting to happen again. And I favor the Russians as the culprits here. And we've seen the price of oil running up again. Not as high as it did before, but it's running up pretty high. And here in advance of an election, I think there's going to be a play against the dollar, against our financial institutions again. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it will succeed. But I think the left, as you say, the communists, they need to damage Trump. And a financial crisis could be the only way they have to pull their bacon out of the fire.
It may be. You know, I was scrolling through my website, Jeff, and I think I mentioned this to you previously, but I'm pretty sure I've still got it archived. It should still be archived at my website. My radio show from the last Sunday of June 2008. I had a Sunday afternoon show at the time. On that show, I did the following. I issued a warning. The warning was, sell all stocks and bonds before the end of September, because it's soon to happen, worldwide collapse of stock and bond market. Now, that was the last Sunday of June 2008. Now, it wasn't some brilliant prognostication on the part of John Moore. I happened to come across in my research a warning from a bank that is within a couple of years of finishing their third century and starting their fourth century of being a bank, the Royal Bank of Scotland, warning to their own account holders to do that, to sell all stocks and bonds before the end of September, which tells me I didn't know the details. All I knew was the veracity, who was issuing this warning. And that was enough for me. Mm-hmm. That was enough to reissue that warning so that anybody who paid heed, now here it is on the right side of my homepage, just to the right. Now, if you want a good laugh, we got a BBC 1 minute and 46 second video here, The Real Housewives of ISIS. It's funny as can be. But just to the right of that, it says in red print, history rhymes, 29th day of June 2008. Now, I didn't know the details that you just gave us there, Jeff, about who was probably behind it. All I knew was if a 300, soon to be 400-year-old bank is telling their own account holders to do this, that's enough for John Moore to repeat that warning. Mm-hmm. And I have friends, my contemporaries, my contemporary baby boomers, who were virtually wiped out financially. They had everything set up for a comfortable retirement in 2008. And now these men and women are working at jobs that they would rather not be working because they have no choice. And you could not issue a warning of that nature with that time frame of accuracy unless you had privileged information about what was actually going on, could you, Jeff?
No, you couldn't. Well, you remember Henry Paulson, who was Secretary of the Treasury under George W. Bush.
Yes, sir.
He wrote a very important book, which has an astonishing part in it, where they were at the Beijing Olympics. As you remember, in 2008, the Olympics were held in Beijing. And in the Beijing Olympics, the Chinese officials had come to him and said, look, the Russians are trying to get us to, bail on Fannie and Freddie. And this is really stupid. I mean, we allowed the Chinese and the Russians to invest in one of our biggest, our biggest mortgage banks, right?
Right.
That was under federal control. And so the Russians were planning to undermine at the same time one of the leading banks in the United States. And that was a warning sign, a definite warning that we were under attack, financial attack from the Russians. They were planning it, and then even their partners, the Chinese, were afraid of suffering financial damage because of it.
That's
right. The Chinese were invited by the Russians to participate. They didn't want to, because of course the Chinese are so intertwined with us in terms of trade that they could not afford that kind of loss. They were ready to go to war with us, and they gave us this warning. They tattled on their Russian partners. So that is a kind of a window into what the Russians are capable of in terms of economic warfare.
Absolutely.
And it did. It affected John McCain and his running mate were ahead in the polls before that financial crash. Obama might have won that election because of the financial crash. We'll never know if that's really the case. I suspect it is.
Well, they had both bases covered. John McCain would have been marginally better, if any at all, than Hussein Obama.
Yeah. Yes.
There's another video, Jeff, at my website where the veterans who know John McCain and were part of, were locked up in Hanoi Hilton, they tell the truth about John McCain. So he is a definitely Manchurian candidate, in my opinion. The only POW we know of who weighed more when he left the POW camp than when he got there.
Yeah, that's a very telling detail. When John McCain was, challenging George W. Bush in 2000, I became very alarmed about him. There was something I saw that was wrong with him, and so I did an investigation. I was working for WorldNet Daily at the time, and I started talking to people who were in the Hanoi Hilton with John McCain, who were in captivity with him. I talked to three people. And I talked to a guy who had been the head of the Office of POW MIA Affairs, who told me basically that he knew from Vietnamese officials that John McCain was under a blackmail threat from the Vietnamese communists. And he told me that the Khmer Rouge, who were, of course, had become enemies of the Vietnamese communists, in their radio broadcast during their fight against them, referred to Senator John McCain as an agent of North Vietnam.
There you go. Here's our break. Call number is 800-313-9443.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your...
We're back. J.R. Moore here on Thursday, the 8th day of August. My new video that was filmed in Prague, Czech Republic, is now available. It's at my website at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.com. Jeff, is your new article ready for publication yet?
Almost.
Getting
but
close.
I'm still trying to figure out President Trump. I got
good luck on
interesting, that. I got an interesting insight, of course, last week. I don't know if you saw that he had, this was one of my insights that I really took note of and including into the article. Rush Limbaugh, Trump had called Rush Limbaugh.
Really?
When he was celebrating his 30th anniversary on the radio.
Really?
And if you heard that interview... Did you hear it?
I did not, but I'm definitely going to listen to it. What happened?
Yeah, definitely. It's on YouTube. You can hear it. It's not very long. I think it's 14 minutes long. And President Rush Limbaugh asked the burning question, which I have been puzzling over in writing this article for weeks, and that is, He asked, Mr. President, you know, do you, you know, what is the secret of your accomplishing these things? Is it because you're following the advice of your advisors, or is it instinct? What is it that you're doing? And Trump said, well, I got the greatest advisors, you know, something to the effect that he's got the best advisors in the world, but it's instinct.
Yep.
And that had been my guess, you know, my conclusion. But I think it's a little more than that. But that was very interesting to have the president actually say it openly.
Well, it was extemporaneous. Res gestae utterance, as we say in my area of expertise. Jeff, we got a caller on hold here. We got John in Arlington. Good morning, John.
Hello, Mr. Nyquist. I have a question for you about, there's a couple of questions. One is, what is the truth about the public broadcasting system? Is it really something created in the public interest, or is it something, or is it created to push an agenda?
Well, I don't know that, I don't really know a lot about the, you know, talking about PBS?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, government-supported television. Yeah, it's probably not a good idea. You know, I like some of the traditional programs they bring on. Some people really like their programming. I don't, you know, I don't really know a whole lot about them. So I don't think I can answer that. But I don't think the government should be involved in broadcasting, you know, because of the political potential for abuse.
Hmm. All right. I've heard of Ann Torres, the attorney.
No, I don't think I know who you mean.
He was on a program. You ever heard of the Thinking Atheist?
He was on a program about atheists?
No, it's by an atheist. So he's a former Christian who turned atheist. According to this attorney, Trump, on several occasions, has already violated the law. And one of the ways he has violated the law was in appointing his son-in-law to his White House staff, which is a violation of the Nepotism Act.
I think that if it had been against the law, he would already be in trouble for it. But I don't think in your personal staff, I think nepotism laws affect positions, you know, bureaucratic positions in the federal government outside of your personal staff. I'm not sure about that, but I suspect that's why it is okay for him to do that. But remember, his son-in-law is, the position of his son-in-law is on his personal staff. So I don't know exactly what the law says on there. John might know more than I do on that.
I'm not sure the nepotism laws apply to the commander-in-chief. I've never really looked into it, but the commander-in-chief, president has authority that doesn't exist in most other positions. And quite frankly, if there was a nepotism issue, you can be sure that people like Chuck Schumer and Dianne Feinstein would have jumped on that really quick. If it was bona fide and real, they would have been on that real quick. And I don't believe it's real.
If you remember, John Kennedy appointed his brother to be Attorney General of the United States back in 1960.
And that had to be approved by the U.S. Senate, and that's a much higher profile issue of nepotism than the president's son or son-in-law.
What other things? His name is he's a Harvard attorney who deals with issues. Dealing with issues like church-state separation and abortion rights and other issues of that nature.
Church-state separation is a misnomer, and it's something created that doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's correct. The Constitution says Congress will make no law. You know,
At the time, John, it's important for everybody. There were state religions among the 13 states, the 13 colonies, that they wanted to make sure the new federal government did not interfere with the existing state religions. And that was the purpose of the First Amendment. One of the purposes was to preserve the monopoly of the existing state religions and how not have the federal government compete with them to have new state religions. Right, Jeff?
That's right. They didn't want the federal government to be a battleground for different religious denominations trying to control and to dictate other people's faith.
Mm-hmm. Also, what was going on with what were the activities of the between 1982 and 1991 of the CPUSA? What kind of pronouncements were coming out? You know, during the time when, after Brezhnev died, and he was taken over by Andropov and Chernenko, and eventually Gorbachev years. What were they up to?
Around that time, they were focusing on taking over the Democratic Party and electing a stealth communist president. That was their big goal of the communists. Which I think they've succeeded at it to some great extent.
Hold that thought. We got a break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our Energy Cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner, $70 off retail, and a mattress pad, 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the Energy Cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get Energy Cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter, blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 8th of August. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. There's lots there, lots to see, lots to read. Seriously, if you want a good laugh, watch this BBC video. It's less than 2 minutes. It's a hoot about ISIS. I thought it was going to be a mini-series, Real Housewives of ISIS. It's just funny as can be. And of course, we also have the notice that I'll be speaking in Dallas, Texas, at the Operation Classified, 9th, 10th, and 11th November. That'll be here before you know it. Look forward to seeing a lot of you there. And of course, my energy cleaner, this is my home business. If you have arthritis pain, what are you waiting for? You're going to keep taking those meds? Seriously? You're going to keep doing that? They don't work. You know that. Get yourself an energy cleaner and get some healing. Joint pain, back pain, same thing. Get yourself some healing with the energy cleaner. Genuine healing with the energy cleaner. I'm shipping a energy cleaner and a mattress pad, actually two pads, a bed pad and a travel pad to Canada here coming up. Just got an order yesterday from a very nice lady in Canada. You can get yours also. Just go to my website. Check out the energy cleaner, the mattress pads. You can use PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 90-day money-back guarantee. Seriously, that's what I do for me to you personally. So check out the energy cleaners at my website, and you can place your order right there. You can use my toll-free order line. You can use PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. Send me a check or a money order. The toll-free order line, 24 hours a day. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.com. And we got a caller on hold. John, your final comment or question, please, before we move on.
It's what kind of monitoring was going on? What were the Communist Party USA? What was their public face they were putting on while all the so-called the Gorbachev, the Glasnost and Perestroika was going on, and what were they actually doing? What was their public face? What were they actually putting forth? What were they saying? What was their propaganda? What was their line on what was going on with the Andropov, Gorbachev, Andropov, who succeeded Andropov? Chernyenko?
Brezhnev was before Andropov, and he was in there a long time.
I know, but then if Andropov, who succeeded Andropov?
Chernyenko,
and then it was Gorbachev took over after him. What were the pronouncements of the communists, of the CPUSA, while all this was, all these so-called reforms were going on? Were they putting forth to the public, and what were they doing behind the scenes?
Well, the reforms happened under Gorbachev after 85. But the Communist Party maintains, the Communist Party USA maintains a pretty consistent line of, you know, pro-Marxism-Leninism, and the only thing that changes are the particular strategies or tactics they're applying at any given time. So that could be pretty arcane to discuss that. I'd try to remember back, but the Communist Party USA, if you listen to their broadcasts or things they were saying in the 1990s with the supposed collapse of communism, they were still running to Moscow saying that, you know, Russia is still the motherland of socialism. If you listen to KPFK, for example, in the Los Angeles area, that's a radio station that broadcasts a lot of communist messages and programming, that's what you would hear. What the Communist Party was saying behind closed doors to its members, within its clubs, you know, I don't know exactly. I know that they had already were prepared by visits by Soviet officials telling them that this new strategy of reform and collapsing communism was an attempt to put the U.S. to sleep. Georgi Arbatov, the head of the Institute of USA and Canada in the Soviet Union, at the Soviet Academy of Sciences, he came to this country and he was telling people openly that the whole thing was to, they were depriving the United States and capitalism of an enemy as a way of disarming them. I mean, he was practically saying it openly.
Mm-hmm. So the people at the top in the CPUSA, they were well informed about what was actually going on.
Oh yeah, the communist leaders are well informed. Yes, they are.
And what they were doing is that they were working out some kind of long term plan at that time. I mean, in the CPUSA in conjunction with Moscow to do all kinds of subterfuge over the next several years to set themselves up for coming back and starting a revolution.
Well, the plan that they were executing in the late 80s and early 90s was actually officially adopted at the Communist Party Congress of all the communist parties in the world in 1960. And they officially adopted the plan then.
Okay.
The plan had been worked out in the Soviet Union and with communications with various communist parties around the world in the late 50s. And then it was kind of agreed upon by the communist parties of the various parts of the world at one of these giant meetings that they hold.
Okay. Anyway, that was my question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, John, we thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Let's time to move on here. Jeff, our goal, your goal and my goal, Jeff, is to inform Americans of the true nature of the ongoing, never-ending threat of international communism to the West, to the United States, to our way of life, our culture, our republic, isn't it, Jeff?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
It is. And it grates against me to hear in the mass media, to hear elected officials at the federal, local, and state level keep referring to our democracy. The founding fathers did everything they could to prevent our republic from becoming a democracy, didn't they, sir?
Yes, that's exactly right. Democracy, Aristotle said democracy was the worst form of government. It was the least stable, and that it resolves itself into dictatorship. If you get real democracy, it becomes dictatorship eventually, because it devolves into mob rule.
Exactly.
And I should refer people to the ancient Greek writer Polybius, who wrote a history of the Roman Republic's rise as an empire. And he has a chapter in there about the Roman Constitution, and he says why constitutional government of that kind is superior, because it prevents either a dictatorship, it prevents oligarchy, it prevents democracy turning into mob rule. It uses all the simple forms of the state in a checks and balances system. And he says that's why Rome was the strongest country in the world, its constitution. And we look at the United States, which is the strongest country in the world, and it's, again, the Constitution and the checks and balances, because people, you know, as Lord Acton said, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. the question in politics is how do you prevent corruption from becoming so bad that it destroys the society? And that's how you do it, checks and balances. That's the key.
That's right. That's right. Well, the move towards us becoming a democracy really took off around 1913. And it was, let's see, the 17th Amendment, which was ratified April the 8th, 1913, that called for direct election of U.S. senators. That was a major move towards the United States becoming a democracy, wasn't it, sir?
Yeah, it was. And then people pronouncing the United States to be a democracy when it was not so conceived. You know, people often have asked me, you know, what is your political ideology? And I would say it's constitutional government and checks and balances. That's the key because, you know, if you study the subject, the ancient political philosophers discovered the way to prevent revolutions and upheavals in states. If you look at a simple dictatorship or simple democracy, they don't last more than two generations, generally speaking, because the corruption destroys them from within, rots them away. And when I say simple form, I mean a simple oligarchy, a simple monarchy, or I should say simple aristocracy, monarchy, or democracy turns into corrupt oligarchy, corrupt despotism, or corrupt mob rule, and within two generations. Because if it doesn't corrupt the generation that established it, it most certainly corrupts the follow-on generation. And what happens is it destabilizes the state. It creates a revolutionary condition, which, by the way, the communists want to create so they can take power. And this is what the sort of communism is, the ultimate form of corruption, because it's a dictatorship of the proletariat, so to speak, but it's a dictatorship of the communist vanguard who then enrich themselves and oppress the people and abuse power and become frighteningly corrupt and vicious in that process. And we see it again and again in every communist state in the world. And because the communist system does not have the kind of checks and balances we have. They have a system of checks and balances that preserves the communists in power and in their corruption. It's sort of a inversion of checks and balances. It's the use of checks and balances for an evil purpose. That's another detail about the innovation that modern totalitarianism has enabled. Both the Nazi and the communist system used a kind of negative checks and balances system where every man had a gun pointed at the head of every man to stay loyal to the regime. And if anybody doesn't pull the trigger, somebody would pull the trigger on them. And so everybody was too frightened to revolt against the system. But that's not the ideal. The ideal is for you to have a decent government and for good men to intercede with a veto or with their constitutional power to prevent an abusive power of others. That's the struggle we're having right now with Trump being president, fighting the swamp. This is an attempt to reassert the constitutional checks on a corrupt group that are trying to monopolize the power in the state to their own advantage.
Right. Right. Well, pulling us back to where we are right this moment, there is abundant evidence that President Trump did, in fact, win the actual general vote, the general population vote. The official records show otherwise. My friend Professor McCanning has done a careful analysis showing that President Trump did, in fact, the general election popular vote on one hand. On the other, the Electoral College came to the rescue, as it was designed to do. The Electoral College is meant to stop us from becoming a democracy. That's the purpose of the Electoral College. And the communists, the Democrats, the socialists hate the Electoral College and want to see it done away with, don't they, Jeff?
Yeah, they do. And the Electoral College is perhaps saved us now.
It has. It did.
From two from two presidents that would have been a disaster. Al Gore would have been elected, I think, in 2000. And I think you're right. I think that President Trump probably won the majority because
the real votes from real American citizens that really were alive, yeah, because, as opposed to the Chicago cemeteries. Yes.
Yeah, because there's 2 million illegal alien voters in this country on any given election, presidential election now, and recent elections, and then you have up to a million dead people voting. So when you show the corruption in California here in the voting system, I'm not sure, you know, given the large number of illegals that live in this state, how you can really calculate votes. California has become a kind of one-party state, and the corruption of the Democratic Party here is just monstrous.
Well, Jeff, when I was in the Philippines, when I was in Manila, I did a presentation to men and women who were on a first-name basis with the president of the Philippines, and they were so proud that they were going to get electronic voting machines. And I said, ladies, gentlemen, don't do that. Stay with paper ballots count at the precinct. That's the only way you can even come close to having a free and fair election. Paper ballots counted at the precinct. And I don't know if they paid heed or not, but that was my advice.
Well, as you know, in Venezuela, we had Hugo Chavez become elected president there back in, December of 99? And he assumed the presidency in Venezuela, and as he established more and more a dictatorship and brought the Cubans in to support him, his ability to get reelected, of course, was in doubt. And they brought in the Venezuelans created these, or were helped by the Cubans and the Russians and the Chinese in developing these electronic voting machines, which, by the way, is Venezuelan operatives that have brought them into this country and brought them into Brazil, for example, where the Workers' Party in Brazil, which is really a communist front, took over Brazil using these machines. In fact, President Dilma Rousseff, when she won the election, there was no way she won, honestly. They were convinced that this election was stolen. This is why the Brazilian people took to the streets, and there were crowds of over 500,000 people carrying signs, and they impeached Dilma Rousseff. They are forming a new conservative party in Brazil, and Jair Bolsonaro is going to be the next president, and they're going to sweep away the swamp in Brazil. It's an amazing phenomenon, but getting rid of those electronic voting machines is at the center of Brazil's campaign to take their country back for Brazilians against the communists. And they are really aware. Brazil's a little bit ahead of the curve on us because their people are aware that the communists tried to take over their country through the Workers' Party. I think a lot of people here in the U.S. haven't quite woken up to what has happened to the Democratic Party in this country. But I think that awareness is coming.
I got some breaking news here, Jeff. As we speak, a few hours ago, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia began the execution of a man by crucifixion who, as we speak, is hanging on a cross in Saudi Arabia, in the process of dying by crucifixion. Right now, as you and I speak, this man is hanging on a cross in Saudi Arabia with the full advice and consent of the Saudi Arabian government, being crucified and dying that slow, miserable, painful death of crucifixion right now, on the morning of, here in the United States, August 8th. 2018, and over the next 2 to 3 days, he will eventually die a slow, painful, miserable death.
What was the man's crime?
He was convicted of murder. And, of course, the rules of evidence, and this is how I made my living the past 4 decades, the rule of evidence in Saudi Arabia are almost non-existent compared to what we regard as proper jurisprudence in the United States.
My goodness, that's crazy. That form of execution hasn't been used since Roman times.
It's routinely used in Saudi Arabia.
Is it? Of course, they use it routinely
now? They behead people also. with a sword. That's another.
Yeah. Well, of course, in Europe, they have the guillotine that they execute people with. In different European countries, that still have the death penalty. But my goodness, I wasn't aware that Saudi Arabia, and they have.
It's happening right now. This execution will run the next 3 days. It takes about 3 days to die. You die of dehydration, basically, when you're being crucified. That's how you die. You die of dehydration over a period of about 3 days.
My goodness.
And we're supposed to treat these people as if they're normal, as if they have the same beliefs and understanding of modern civility that we do in the West.
Yeah, that's and they've been using this form of execution all throughout the 21st and 20th century.
Well, they still were buying and selling men and women when I was in high school. Slavery was still legal when I was
slavery.
In high school.
Yeah, they do have slavery.
And they still
go ahead.
They still have slavery. It's just quietly done. It's not done publicly, even though there's laws against it. There's still slavery in Saudi Arabia. Don't fool yourself. Of course there is.
We take our modernity and our institutions for granted, that everybody thinks like we do, and they don't. The world is full of countries that are still in the 13th century, I guess. And Saudi Arabia, I was shocked to read that Saudi Arabia has like the fourth or third biggest military budget in the world.
Majority of that money goes to buy our jet
our
fighters,
weapons.
Which they can barely find a Saudi pilot with a high enough IQ to make these things. I've interviewed the instructors who attempt with the emphasis on attempt to teach the not terribly bright Saudi Arabian pilots to fly these things. Because something also
they have
Jeff, since the 9th century, they've been marrying their first cousins.
Yeah, that's true. That's throughout the Arab world, that is a practice.
Throughout the Arab world, yeah. You do it one generation, you get a dramatic increase in low IQ, birth defects, and so forth. You do it since the 9th century, your DNA is broken forever.
Yeah, that's you damaging
birth defects,
DNA.
Low IQ, yes.
Yeah, right. It's interesting. I don't know if you know who General Douglas or Colonel Douglas McGregor is, but I was talking to him about the Middle East some years ago, about the military there, and he was saying that the Arab militaries are not effective.
It can't be. When you got an average IQ of 75 or 80, how could they be very effective?
Yeah, they can't, because you need,
Thank you, Jeff. Have you back next week.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that's it for the day. Get your medical supplies, your energy cleaner, your essential oils now while you can. Your essential oils, your gun. I'm all messed up. I'm sorry. Have a great day, and God bless America.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.